Welcome to the Infamous Podcast. I'm your host, Brian.
This is Johnny.
And today we are talking about comic books. You look really excited.
I'm just tired.
I know you. Anyway, we are going to be continuing the Certified Infamous trend and talk about our favorite funny books of 2016. And just a little disclaimer, these are not all new to 2016. They are just our favorite ones that happened this year.
Yeah.
So cool. But before we get into
that. Or favorite things that happened in comics.
That too.
Yeah.
Because there were some pretty cool shiz.
Yeah.
All right. So there was some cool stuff that came out. Of course, there's been all this cool stuff that happens on like Thursday nights at like 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just a couple hours after we're done recording. That's like, damn it, we have to wait a week to talk about it.
Yeah.
And two of those were movie trailers last
week. That's why you changed the posting date. And
maybe but we still would have missed it because, you know. We're going to go back in.
There's ways to change that around.
Anyway, yeah, well, we can do that. It's totally cool. All right, so the first one, Spider-Man Homecoming trailer.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a Spider-Man movie.
Did you watch both the one from Jimmy Kimmel and the international trailer?
I haven't watched the international one.
So I posted the international one to our Facebook page.
Yeah.
It was a little different. There was more Michael Keaton in the international one. Man, I'm so excited to see him as Adrian Toomes.
Don't need too much of him like in the preview.
It wasn't.
Save it for.
Yeah, it was just a little more.
Right. I mean, it was cool to see the Vulture costume. Which they showed the action figure too from the Marvel Legends.
So. Oh, cool. And then we got to see Shocker in there as well.
Was he in the international?
Yeah. Well, he was in the regular one too. Just
I wasn't
like
paying attention.
And you miss it. But I don't know. This looks good. You're right. It's definitely a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Which you could argue we haven't really had yet.
Not like a Marvel Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, Iron Man's in the movie. I mean, you know, that's kind of cool.
I'm just trying to open the door for you. I'm not going in for the hug.
Yeah. It's all about the hugs in the Marvel Universe next year.
It totally is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Between that and
Thor
Drax,
and Doctor Strange are going to hug it up.
They're going to bro down. So whenever Doctor Strange and Tony get on the screen together,
yeah,
there has to be a facial hair bros thing.
Just because they've done it in the comics.
In the comics.
Yeah.
And like my favorite, there was one, it was from Invincible Iron Man a few months ago.
Yeah.
And Tony's got his hand up for the high five. And Steven just looks at him and goes, I hate you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Civil War II, he does, I still hate you.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, I still hate you.
It was just so funny because he's like, facial hair bros.
Yeah, I still hate you.
I still hate you. Yeah, the action looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, Peter and his buddy, looks like they're taking a class trip to Washington, D.C. That's what I can guess.
Yeah.
I did like the wings, the web wings underneath
the
armpit, which we haven't seen.
Kind of classic.
Yet. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the classic
Spidey.
Detko look and feel to the spider character.
Right.
But, you know, I think Tom Holland is such a great pick for this role.
Yeah.
And
I liked him in Civil War for the few minutes he's in Civil War.
Yeah, from the little bit we get to see him. But, like, we did get to see him as Peter Parker and as Spider-Man.
Right.
And I feel like he nailed both.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that it'll be fun. I think the whole thing with him trying to be an Avenger already is kind of fun.
You're not an Avenger yet.
Yeah, you're not even ready to be an Avenger. But if they're going to DC, I mean, that might be where, you know, we get the Chris Evans showing up as Captain America.
That would be cool.
Because I'm willing to bet that'll
Nomad
happen too. So
with a cape and everything.
Well, I think that like, you know, that museum piece is still in the Smithsonian with Captain America and Howling's Commandos. So it's like, if they're going there, that would be a cool, like, nod.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where Stan Lee will tie into this.
Yeah.
Steve Ditko will just be somebody slamming a door on somebody.
Yeah, no kidding.
That guy's a recluse, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will he be in it, you think?
No. He doesn't associate with anybody.
That's sad.
Yeah. I read an article probably a couple months ago about somebody trying to find him and interview him, and they found him and they got the door slammed in their face.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah. He's still around, but he does not want to deal with this at all.
He's just done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he created Spider-Man and Strange, Doctor Strange. So, mm-hmm. you know.
He's getting those fat movie checks, right?
And I don't know anything about, like, you know, they don't talk about that or anything. So if he is, I mean, and that, but he just wants to be left alone.
Yeah,
so
I sure hope he is.
Just leave the guy alone.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so totally excited.
Oh, yeah,
know,
yeah.
For this. And to see it back under, you know, it's not fully a Marvel movie. Like, Tony's still involved.
It's
but
a Marvel movie with Sony on the front of it.
Right. Yeah.
Sony has no, you know, Sony gave up the rights to say anything about it.
Yeah. Which is fine. You know, they're going to get
means that they can use all the characters from the Spider-Man universe. Mm-hmm. So.
They're going to make a bunch of money, you know, kind of right their ship.
A classic Electro at some point, you know. Oh,
that would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great.
With the lightning bolt face.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's always been one of my favorite Spider-Man villains.
Yeah, so. I'm excited to see Vulture because I've always liked Vulture. Yeah. You know, I really hope at some point, and maybe not a second one, but third movie, we get to see Kraven.
Mm-hmm. I think you'll see him a second movie.
You think?
If they don't put him in this one, which I could see them even doing, you know, I could see him showing up in the second one. Yeah. And because Spidey's going to show up in other movies, right. Kraven will have that, you know, come to New York City to hunt the spider thing, which would be cool too. So,
yeah,
you know,
so I because that's one of my all-time favorite Spider-Man arcs is you know the Kraven and
I mean you
and,
won't get like Kraven's last hunt or anything.
No,
like
I mean like that's my
right
probably you know my all-time favorite Spidey arc, but you know I don't think I mean. We're way too early into the movie.
Well, I mean, you're already getting Ned Leeds and you're getting, you know, a lot of that type of stuff. So it's very curious to see where that goes.
Early on, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's not like Batman versus Superman where they just threw Doomsday in the very first movie.
You're getting,
like,
you're getting things that could have repercussions down the line.
Yeah.
And I mean, and with Spider-Man being a teenager, this movie franchise could go on a little bit longer than say Iron Man or
I mean Tom Holland's only 19.
Yeah.
So I mean Robert Downey Jr. is almost 50.
I think he's over 50 at this point.
Is he? And then I mean Chris Evans is, you know, mid 30s.
Is he? I thought he was mid 40s.
Oh, I didn't think he was.
I don't know. I mean Fantastic Four's been what, 15 years ago at this point? Was
it? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, he was in his 20s when he did Fantastic Four.
Hmm.
So, I mean, you know, they're all getting older. Yeah. Put it that way.
Yep. Let's see. Chris Evans. He was born in 1981.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's late mid 30s.
So he's 6 years younger than me.
He's 4 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's 35.
Okay.
So yeah, he's got some time, but you know, you're right about Denny. You know, he's getting up there. But
he doesn't look it, but
not at all.
Well, it's just the whole thing of, you know, when do you say, okay, Robert Downey Jr., do you want to do any more Iron Man or Iron Man appearances in Marvel Cinematic movies?
Or do they recast?
Yeah, or do they recast it?
So my thought is like the recasting thing, right?
Yeah.
Like they're not going to reboot the character.
No.
They're just going to recast. I mean, just like they did with Rhodey.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and kind of the way they can get away with it is like, well, you know, when a different artist comes on a book, the character looks different. You know, it's kind of following that comic book precedent. So, yeah, I'm not.
Or they could go the 90s version of Tony Stark and have him travel back in time and get a young Tony Stark as Iron Man. I mean, it's happened, so.
Yeah, just
anything's possible.
Find a young actor who looks kind of like Robert Downey Jr.
His son.
Is his son an actor?
No, but.
Oh, okay.
You know, anybody can be an actor. It's Hollywood.
For some reason, I think you're being sarcastic there.
And the one thing I liked in the previous Jon Favreau's back is
Happy Hogan. It's lining up to be a nice tie back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe for Spidey. All right. So a franchise which we're both big fans of, you're a huge fan of.
Oh, yeah.
is the War of the Planet of the Apes trailer finally came out. I haven't been reading a lot up on it because like I didn't read a whole lot up into Dawn of and Rise of.
Right.
And I was shocked to see Woody Harrelson in
there. Knew he was in it.
Totally excited to see Woody Harrelson in there though.
Yeah.
This looks like it's gonna be good.
Yeah, this one will be like I guess the like prequel to what Planet of the Apes becomes in that. So I'm very curious to see where the story's going to go. It's very cool looking.
Yeah.
I mean, after the end of the last one, it's very curious to see what they build off of that.
Yeah. Caesar looks so good.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, God. That, the is it Andy Serkis?
Andy Serkis plays Caesar.
It's Caesar. And, you know, the motion capture and just the computer animated apes have gotten so good.
Well, and that they age him.
Yeah.
That he looks older every time. So, you know, it's you can tell like between the first and the second 10 years.
Yeah.
And he's older and you can tell he's older. And this one, it's like, yeah, he's a little bit older and that. So, yeah, it looks fun. I'm curious to see like Woody Harrelson as a bad guy.
From like, one perspective.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But yeah, it will be interesting to see.
The only good human is a dead human.
That's right.
So, you know.
They don't have the divine spark.
Hmm? Apes apes don't kill apes. Apes kill humans.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it looks so good and you know, like I don't know, this rebrand or
reimagining
has been so fun.
Yeah.
Like, even the first one where, it, you know, was it, that was Rise of, right? Or was that Dawn?
That was Rise.
Rise. Yeah. Okay. I get them, you know.
Yeah, I know. So. The names are kind of very similar.
So, Rise with, you know, you have James Franco and you have, you know, you have a young Caesar.
Right.
As a little baby ape. And it was such a cool story. And then to see, there's like this ground zero moment that affected the human population that, you know, gave the apes some higher
dominance,
intelligence
right.
and some dominance and started to kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, thin the herd from the humans.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you get to Dawn of and, you know, there's been
10 years.
Yeah.
Most of the human race is extinct.
There's been
pockets
fighting
of humanity.
And,
the apes have been living in the woods and been left alone pretty much to create a society.
And which they like have. And
now in this movie, the military is aware of the society and they don't like it.
No.
So we'll see if anybody from the last one shows up. I think pretty much. But did Gary Oldman survive? I can't even remember.
I don't remember. I don't want. So I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, I need to go back and rewatch
it. Yeah, I've watched it a couple times since it came out. So, but
is that one we saw in the theater? I think we saw that one together.
I don't remember.
Yeah, anyway, we see so many movies.
Yeah,
but yeah. Again, the trailer looked great. The story sounds cool. I'm 100% on board.
Yeah.
To go check it out. All right, and then in Star Trek Discovery news, we have
was
casting.
Was supposed to be like a,
yeah, that was the little news teletype.
Oh, okay.
So I just kind of stuffed up and there you go. We have
in the Star Trek Discovery news.
The future,
the future between Enterprise and Star Trek.
Yeah. Oh,
we finally have our lieutenant commander, and she's a member of the Walking Dead.
Not for long.
Well,
anyway. Yeah.
Are you looking at, before we even say who it is, looking at the way the schedules work,
she could do both shows. Yeah.
So.
Well, because, okay, so, I mean, they're not even going to start filming Discovery for, what is this? We're in the middle of December.
Start January.
They're not even going to start for another month.
Right.
You
but
know,
the Walking Dead,
Walking
stopped
Dead
right
is,
before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, done for the season, right?
No, they
just
come
for
back.
That half.
Yeah,
okay.
For that half. No, they're done for the season.
Yeah,
they finish
the whole.
They started in the summer and they finished right before Thanksgiving, so they're done for the season.
Right.
They won't come back until May.
Right.
Or June, May or June, they start filming the next season.
They film early,
so So if they come back in May and they start filming Star Trek and it's only 10 episodes, she could be. It's Sonequa Martin Green.
Yeah, so Sonequa Martin Green, who, I mean, in our text back and forth this morning, it's like she's so underutilized on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I hope they kill her and let her go be awesome and other stuff. She's great. I'm really excited to see her and like, you know, put a show on her shoulders. You know, this is a great thing for her. And you know, the fact that it's not focused on a captain, I think we're going to get to see more of the inner workings of the ship.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't go with an alien, or at least I hope she's not an alien. I hope, you know,
we get to see her. Half Vulcan or something.
Oh god.
No, I think
how many half Vulcans are there?
You're gonna see her as herself.
I hope so, because she's so expressive. Right. Like, you know, she's so good with the emotion. And to be honest, like, you know, obviously I haven't kept up on Walking Dead this season because I'm done with it.
Well, and that's what I told you. I'm two episodes behind, so I don't know if she's dead or not. Because I know that, like, this last episode, two people died. So,
dun, dun, dun.
Somebody at work wanted to spoil me, and I said no. I said, don't spoil me on death. I said, you can tell me other stuff. I said, just don't spoil me on death.
But without, I mean, without, like, Abraham there, you know, it's kind of.
And that's what I'm thinking. Like, it would be cool if he got cast as a Klingon.
That would be interesting for sure. If she was a Klingon.
Or if he showed up on that show, because I think that he would be really.
Oh, Abraham, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, Michael
Cutlets.
So I will always remember him as the bully from Gross Point Blank.
See, and I remember him from Band of Brothers.
And and then he was also
in all kinds of military.
He was also the bully in Airborne.
He was?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was in Airborne.
He's awful young to have been in.
He was like older. Like he looked like he had a mustache and everything.
I thought that was Jack Black, and
Jack Black was in there too. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Perseus or whatever from Hercules, from Young Hercules.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that played the brother that was the bully.
No, he wasn't the brother. Oh no, he was the bully in the Mighty Ducks 3.
That's, oh, okay, well, you know, that anyway. Makes more sense.
There's rollerblading in both of those movies, so
I forgot about that in Mighty Ducks 3.
Yeah. The Mighty Ducks.
There was
2.
A Mighty Ducks 3.
Yeah, it's where they go.
I know.
To,
I'm being sarcastic. There shouldn't have been a Mighty Ducks 3.
What? But. There should be plenty of Mighty Ducks.
No,
movies.
No.
Yeah,
no.
They should still make them.
No.
That would be great. Mighty Ducks. They need to reboot the Mighty Ducks franchise. Let's see. Gross Point Blank, Mighty Ducks 3. Everyone wants to listen to me look for things. Nope. That was it. Oh, he was in Dragon the Bruce Lee story. I forgot about that.
He's been in everything.
Yeah. He was on 21 Jump Street.
The TV series?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, he was on Pacific Blue. Do you remember that show? The bike cops on USA.
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah. Good times, good times.
But he's actually on that cop show that was on USA with the guy who plays Gordon on Gotham now.
Oh, something. It was on South? TNT. Not South Pacific.
No.
Southland.
Southland, yeah. Yeah, they play partners on there.
That was actually. Did you ever watch
it? I never
of that?
Watched
like,
that one.
I don't know if that's streaming
There's
anywhere.
Just too much procedurals that, you know.
That was one where like I caught when it moved to TNT, I caught it a couple times.
Right.
And it was actually pretty good.
Okay.
And I think it was his character when it, because, you know, it was a danger, you know, they killed characters and
right,
stuff.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
And when his character got killed, I think it was like in the middle of like a mob of people.
Oh, really?
And like he just got hit in the back. I don't remember if it was him, but this is how the death happened. The cop character got hit in the back of the head, and then Benjamin Gordon from Gotham was the dude from the OC was like, you know, looking around like who did it and stuff. It was like it was a scary scene for sure. But anyway, no, with her, I'm definitely like.
Well, like definitely I told you, I really liked her on Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, who was she?
She was the one that was working with Ethan.
Oh, with Ethan. That's right.
Ethan Embry.
Okay, because you said that earlier, and I was trying to remember who she was, and I didn't have time to look it up.
Yeah.
That's right. When they were the ones who were trying to expose
Storybrooke. I just remember that she was a memorable character on there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know.
Yeah, they were cool, because they both died.
They both died on there, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
But anyway, cool. All right.
That was like right before she got cast on The Walking Dead.
Actually. Was it really?
Yes.
Was it that? It wasn't. It was that like
it
soon?
Was that,
like that recent?
That, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's been pretty long ago, though. God, you know?
It's because Once Upon a Time takes those gigantic breaks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I guess it probably ended already. I stopped watching that one, too.
That's a Hulu watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially now that I have Hulu without commercials.
Oh, okay. So you do it without the commercials.
You're welcome. Wait, did you do your own Hulu?
Yeah,
now?
I did my own.
Oh, Hulu. You don't use my password anymore?
No.
Oh.
No, I went and did my own.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I thought you were still using it, and you figured you'd benefit from the non-commercials as much as I did. All right, let's talk about comic books in 2016.
Sure.
It was an interesting year. We have DC completely rebranding again.
Yeah.
We have Marvel with two different rebrands that happened. We had All New, All Different, and then Now, which is the most recent. You know, The Walking Dead's in the midst of a pretty big event. You have from Image.
Close to the end.
Yeah, one more. From Image, you have Image Plus, where we're getting the backstory on Negan.
Yep.
Which has been entertaining. I don't know if you've read it all.
It ties more to what you're seeing in the Whisper War of what happened with his character in the Whisper War and what happened to Lucille in the Whisper War and understanding a little bit more about him. Still not sympathetic for the guy at all. But yeah, it's a little bit interesting.
So just a minor spoiler.
At least it's not a Boba Fett origin.
Yeah. Oh, God. the thing where, you know, I like the little twist that they
We'll have spoilers on this one. About that?
There's just a mine. I'm not going to spoil too
much. I know.
Much.
No, but I'm warning you now. There's going to be spoilers. So
the thing where he's, you know, we know he's married.
Yes.
And then we come back the next month and he's in bed with another woman.
Yeah.
And you're like, that jerk. And then he goes back to his wife,
it's like, wait a minute, it's
Negan. Yeah. But then he goes back to his wife and he's like, I just couldn't, like, I can't keep doing this. And like, it's like, wait a second, what's going on here? And
he's a nice guy.
Yeah. It's like, wait, he has feelings?
They're making him a more four-dimensional character.
They are definitely, I mean, but like the thing is like the layer that they're adding in there, like dimension, whatever you want to call it. Like when you go back and you look at how he managed the saviors.
Yeah.
It makes it even more interesting.
Well, yeah, and you haven't seen the full length of what's happened, so.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't gotten to the saviors yet, and it's I think Kirkman has done a very good job with it. Keeping that up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I like it better than the Michonne one, for sure.
Oh, the Michonne origin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was in Playboy. Wasn't that?
Yeah, and I didn't pick that up until it was actually published.
I got it as part of a, I think it was one of the trades I got or something. But anyway, all right. So you didn't put together a list.
No.
But I did just because I'm a list maker.
Fly by the seat of my pants.
You're. News
flash. This just in. Johnny's not making lists anymore.
This just in. Johnny likes comic books.
Lots of comic books. All about it.
All right. Well, here's what I'm going to do then. I'm just going to bust through my list real quick.
Go ahead.
And then we can talk about comics.
Sure.
Okay. My, in no particular order, Totally Awesome Hulk.
Okay.
Amadeus Cho is the Hulk. I'm all in. Descender. Still, I think it was on my list last year.
It's still a solid book. Yeah.
Still one of my favorites. Volume 3 just came out this week. Haven't read it yet, but I'm about to.
Are you reading it in volumes?
Just in the volumes, yeah. That's one where
I still pick it up in single issues.
I feel like if I did single issues, I would just get... I would be upset that I had to wait a month. I'd rather kind of wait, read the story as a whole, and then wait.
See, but I've been doing single issues where I buy them and then wait.
Yeah.
And wait, let the story finish out. Stuff like The Walking Dead, it's like reading it right away.
Yeah.
I don't care. I can wait. Yeah. I've always waited a month. I've been reading the book since number one. But there are some books like, you know, we've talked about Manifest Destiny and that, where I've been picking it up, but I just got so behind that I picked up the trades.
Yeah.
Descender is one of those ones where it's like, just sit it aside for like 6 or 8 issues and then read it all at once.
Cool.
Saga's kind of turned into the same thing.
See, I get, the minute I get home from Saga, I read it. Okay. So Manifest Destiny is on my list.
Yes.
I bought the second 2 trades on Black Friday on Comixology for $3.99 each.
Okay.
And
the most recent storyline just ended this
and
month.
Number volume 4 comes out next
Sasquatch.
Month. Yeah. Which I'm looking forward to. Huck from Mark Millar and Raphael Albuquerque. Which the end of that book was awesome.
I don't think I got to read the last issue yet.
I hope,
don't know where I have it at.
I honestly hope that's it. Those 6 issues.
Well, he's pretty good at doing just you know, singular stories, because I think like Empress is a single story. Yeah. And what was the one that he did that was the Flash Gordon takeoff? Was a single story.
Yeah.
And I mean, he still is, because it is his universe or world, Millar world. If he comes up with an idea, it's going to show up. Yeah. It's the same with his annual that he's doing every year now, where if somebody comes up with the story,
he was going to
it. It's going to get published. So, you know.
Then Astonishing Ant-Man, which just ended, which was...
Was it just a miniseries?
No, it was, you know, 13 issues. It got canceled with the now... It was the all different.
Kind of like my Web Warriors and Contest Champions books went.
And then we talked about this, and I have Nightwing on here, and part of me has it just because I'm happy there's a good...
It's your sentimental.
Yes. I think one of the... So outside of like my list, one of the things I'm most excited about is from Marvel, and it's this new like Champions line.
Yeah.
You know, so there's the book Champions.
Okay, yeah.
And then the Spider-Man Miles Morales book has been really good.
Are they calling them Champions? Like, is it the Champions group? Yeah. So the books are the Champions?
Well, it's not the line. They haven't gone line-wide yet.
Okay.
But Civil War hasn't ended also. So
yeah, but books are starting that are after Civil War the same way it was with... Secret War?
It's not as bad because Civil War will end soon.
Right, but like I... have the first two issues of Infamous Iron Man.
Yeah.
You can't read them.
I read the first one. I didn't understand it. Yeah. So I didn't read the second one. The same thing.
Well, I mean,
with,
they kind of like put the warnings out there.
Well,
you can't read these books.
And the same thing with Invincible Iron Man with Ruri Williams.
Right.
I started to read the first one and I put it down.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm going to ruin something from Civil War if I continue.
Yeah. Because like, that's one of the books that I've kept up on, you know, wait two issues, read it.
Yep.
Kind of book of Civil War too.
Yeah.
And in the last issue, she goes with who are now the champions.
Yeah.
She leaves with
them. Yeah. They,
so I'm like, is she a champion also?
Yes.
Yes.
So
it's like, but she's not on the cover and she wasn't on the cover of the first issue.
No.
But she's going to be part of the book. So
anyway,
but I mean, that's the thing is like, you know, Marvel needs to get it together when it comes to these miniseries
scheduling
and the scheduling of books. It's like, delay them if you have to
get the miniseries done before you start announcing it. Like,
right.
Make them, hey, look, you have to plot this entire thing out.
Right.
You have to have the first four issues done before we publish any of it.
Right.
Just flat out. Right.
Yeah. They've done it before. I mean, you know,
they need to go back to that. So anyway, but no, that Champions line, the Nova book was really good. But that just ended as well after 13 issues. And it was fun. Now there's a new Nova book that started last week.
Okay.
Which is Richard Rider is returned.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Sam's still going to be a part of it, which is cool.
But Sam's going to be part of the Champions.
But he's a part of the Champions. So the Champions are Nova, young Nova Sam.
Right.
Miles Morales, Kamala. Vision's daughter, whatever.
Kamala is Miss Marvel, right?
Yes, sorry. Yeah. And then Amadeus, which is kind of weird because he's still off doing his own thing in his own book. But
he crosses over?
No, he's the main character.
Oh, right? Well.
And then Young Cyclops.
Yeah.
Which Young Cyclops wasn't in the first issue until like the last page.
Oh, okay.
But then the second issue was... kind of a lot about them all together,
right? Because literally, and then he came in. Civil War. Have you been reading Civil War?
Yeah, I'm all caught up.
I mean, when they leave, he's with them.
Yeah,
and it's like, hey, you just want to get out of here? Let's go. Let's get out of here.
And then, in the third one, it was really cool because they're trying to figure out who's going to lead them,
right?
And you know, Scott is he's uncharacteristically quiet among this group, which is I'm really excited to see what they do with Scott Summers.
This is a Scott Summers who has seen what the universe is because of what he choices.
He's the time displaced.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, he's the one who's gone into space with his dad.
Right.
You know, he's a little more well adjusted than Cyclops typically is.
Right.
And it's been really, really good.
It's just because these kids that are the all new X-Men that came from the past, have seen what their adult versions have done to themselves.
Yeah.
They have different choices they can make.
Mm-hmm. But they can't go back.
They can't go back in time.
So,
yeah.
Which sucks. I mean, it's awesome because, you know.
Did they explain that anywhere?
Yeah. Well, did they explain why they can't go back?
Well, their timeline's gone, isn't it?
Essentially.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Hank broke the space-time continuum.
Yeah.
That's what led to the Black Vortex thing.
Okay.
And Guardians.
Okay.
You know, I'll be 100% honest. Hank McCoy is a supervillain.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just not
he's
a hero.
He's never gone bad.
He's done bad stuff.
Villainous stuff.
But who hasn't in the Marvel Universe?
Well,
but the adult version of Beast, like, you know, like everyone, like, you know, in the everyone,
yeah.
I'm not saying like people, but like in the comics, like they all harp on Scott Summers. And
yeah.
It's like, oh, he's a mutant revolutionary now and he's a terrorist.
Yeah.
He goes around and he riles people up.
Right.
Hank McCoy breaks the space-time continuum.
Yeah.
You know, who's the terrorist here?
Scott Summers.
Yeah. Anyway. But no,
Hank's it's not really
I mean, he's
terrorism.
He's with the Inhumans now anyway. So.
He's really screwed up things.
Yeah. Well, that death
He's not the Dark Beast
right.
from Apocalypse.
No, no, no. You're
the
right.
Dark Beast from Apocalypse was a scary character.
So I would like to see him back.
Yeah.
But
I liked him, but yeah.
Death of X. Did you read that one?
I did not.
Did you even pick it up?
No.
It was really
anticlimactic. I'm not the biggest X-Men fan. I never really have been the biggest X-Men fan. I have my favorite X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
If I wrote an X-Men book, it would have my favorite X-Men in it.
And who are those?
Cable. Iceman's always been a favorite of mine. I'm trying to think who all would be in that group. Probably Storm. I've always liked I've liked the idea of Storm and that. I don't always like the way Storm's portrayed and that. But if I was going to create an X team, she would be the leader.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because I've always thought she should be the leader.
She's a lot like Aquaman.
Yeah.
Like she's an awesome character, but she's really hard to get right.
It takes a certain kind of writer to get that character right.
And I think it's because so early on with Claremont.
Yeah.
Claremont got her so
right. Oh yeah, yeah.
That everyone kind of fails in comparison. Like Greg Pak had a really good run with her in her solo title, which was good. You know, and for so long she was saddled with T'Challa as a husband,
right?
And that kind of like took away from the character, in my opinion.
I like Gambit from the '90s cartoon.
Yeah,
so I would have Gambit on my team.
Okay,
and but it would be the Gambit from the '90s cartoon.
Have you ever checked out the '92 X-Men?
I tried to read it, but
it's all standalone issues.
Yeah.
Like it's not this big.
I think it was more
thing.
The art kind of blew me off than the writing.
Well, it's that Ed McGuinness look,
but it wasn't
you know,
a good Ed
not,
McGuinness.
Yeah, I said look. Yeah, that's the problem. It's like a ripoff.
Mystique would be on my X-Men team.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have villains.
Nice. Yeah. Well, why not
Juggernaut? Because I don't think Juggernaut's really a villain.
No,
I think that he's just an overpowered. You know,
he's
crazy
just
person.
Misunderstood.
Well, my X-Men team would be full of villains and heroes. Mm-hmm. I guess not that any of the X-Men are heroes or villains.
No,
they're all just misunderstood.
Anyway, but
Colossus.
Oh yeah.
So I would have a powerhouse team because I would have Juggernaut and Colossus.
No brains. I guess Storm would be the only brains of the bunch.
Yeah. No, because actually Dark Beast would probably be on my team. Yeah.
So, God, that would be. Wow. But no, like I said,
to defeat villains, you have to have villains.
Because otherwise they keep coming back.
And I don't know. Mr. Sinister would probably be my villain of choice.
Yeah.
Because I've always liked that 90s cartoon Mr. Sinister. So, there was always a mystery to that character that, you know, people try to explain now. And I'm like, nah. Just leave the mystery there.
Yeah, it's like the Joker.
Well, it's kind of like the Boba Fett joke I said. You know, Boba Fett can have a slight origin story.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't need to know where he came from.
I don't need to know that.
I need to know why he's got a mad on for Han Solo.
Yeah.
And why Dengar's his friend.
Yeah.
That's the only things I need to know.
Why he wears stolen Mandalorian armor.
Yeah.
We still haven't figured that out.
Because his dad was Mandalorian.
But he wasn't.
I know.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I've really enjoyed this year of comics. A lot of it has been Marvel. I've read more Marvel than I typically do.
A lot of mine have been like tie-ins.
Yeah.
To stuff that's, you know, media tie-in type stuff. So Star Trek and Star Wars.
The Star Trek Boldly Go. I don't know if you've read it yet.
I haven't read that. I mean, Star Trek ran a story right before the last two issues of the regular Star Trek series that was a four-part about Spock.
Yep.
In that universe and how his legacy affects that Kelvin timeline. Yeah. And that was a really well done story. The last two issues were called Connection, and they connected a storyline with Kirk, Shatner's Kirk, and Pines Kirk's Enterprises. So that was a fun book.
The Starfleet Academy book was good.
Yeah.
From IDW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they do any crossovers this year? I can't remember if there was
Green Lantern.
Was that this year?
Yeah, I think so.
And Planet of the Apes was last year.
Yeah. Well, Tarzan and the Planet of the Apes is going on right now from Dark
Have you been
Horse.
Reading that?
I haven't. I haven't read. I'm going to wait till it's done.
Dude, it's
I can't
awesome.
Wait.
Yeah. I've read the first two. I haven't read the third one, but it's interesting because there's time travel involved.
Ooh.
And
because Tarzan and Caesar are buddies. Like, they're brothers. Well,
it's
right?
actually, like, you know, and this isn't spoiling anything. It ties to the end of Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
Where the Earth blew up. Or was that beneath? Beneath the Planet of the Apes. So Escape from the Planet of the Apes, they crash on Earth. It's 1970s.
Okay.
Cornelius and Zira and Milo. And Milo gets killed by an actual, you know, ape in the lockup. But in this version, instead of them crashing in 1970s, they crash in like the late 1890s.
Okay.
And they crash in Africa.
Cool.
So they're with the apes that eventually adopt Tarzan. So it's Cornelius and Zira, and Milo had died saving them. And that, so their child that they was Caesar at the end of the Escape from the Planet of the Apes is Milo.
Okay.
In this version, but eventually becomes Caesar because of something that happens.
Okay.
But they also adopt a young human child named Tarzan.
Yeah.
And it's that story.
Okay. I'm excited
to read
it.
There's some time travel stuff. Dinosaurs have shown up. So it's kind of cool, you know, to see
the art looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, the other thing
I really enjoy, like, crossovers.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people make...
If you like the crossovers, are you looking at any of the Revolution stuff from IDW?
I haven't read it yet.
Have you
been
picking
it up? But I haven't read it yet.
So there's an Optimus Prime book that comes out this week that I haven't picked up yet. That looks great. There's a Transformers Lost Light that comes out.
Yeah.
Which sounds awesome because it is the follow-up from the More Than Meets the Eye.
Right.
Which has been one of my favorite Transformers books in probably 15 years.
Oh, okay.
Because it focuses on Rodimus Prime.
Yeah.
Or Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then the Mask one was good.
Which I picked the first issue of that up, but I haven't read it yet.
Micronauts has been interesting how it's back, but now it's in IDW and it's not part of Marvel.
Well, it never was part of Marvel. I mean, Marvel tied in. It's the thing where Hasbro owned the rights to all these characters.
Right.
And when Hasbro was letting Marvel publish them, they had Marvel characters.
I mean, because my experience with Micronauts were New Mutants.
Sure.
So
ROM, Micronauts. ROM, even Transformers and G.I. Joe to a certain point, because they did have Marvel characters pop up. I mean, who doesn't remember Spider-Man webbing Megatron?
Yeah.
And that. So, like, now with IDW having the Hasbroverse, as they're calling it, those characters are there.
Yeah.
But the Marvel stuff never happened.
Right.
So,
Revolution was definitely an interesting miniseries.
Yeah.
I didn't finish it yet. So, but like, I was reading it. I did get almost every Revolution cover or issue and tie-in.
Yeah.
I got the action figure covers.
Yeah, you're so big on the action figure covers.
Unfortunately, our store didn't get all of them, so trip to Superfly.
Yeah. Trip to somewhere, anywhere, really. You just got
to
make a list of which ones
you're
missing.
We need to go to Kokomo Toys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, eventually.
I mean, it's not comics, but we need a road trip out there.
There's a comic book store next door.
Oh, right.
So,
we're going.
Yeah.
After the first year.
That's a 3-hour drive.
That's right.
3-hour drive.
Well, for you, it's a 4-minute drive.
I was
going to
say, I'll just take a nap. We're here?
Magic.
Time travel. It actually exists.
You start blowing
it. Kind of sounded like Mark. I'm almost the Joker there for a second.
You start blowing on the backseat. What are you doing? I'm cooling off your flux capacitor.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Just wake up fanning myself like, whew. Man, the re-entry on that.
Why is the outside of your car so cold? It's winter, Johnny.
Why is my skin so cold?
Anyway. No, like I said, I feel like this has been a really like good year for comics. And the sad part about this is I had faith in Rebirth.
Yeah.
I mean, I was...
A tentpole book that went nowhere. Well, you got your Nightwing back.
But, you know, like, okay, so I tried Batman Beyond, I tried Blue Beetle, tried all the Green Lantern books, tried Green Arrow, tried the Titans, Teen Titans. Is it bad
that some books I've looked at and not even read them and I just put them back?
No. It's how it should be. So, yeah. But like, so I'm down to Nightwing, Batman, and Detective, and Batman's about to go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm going to see they're in this middle of the I Am Suicide storyline with Bane and, you know, but I think they're trying to set up a Justice League versus Suicide Squad thing.
That's coming. The only thing that like really excited me coming out of DC wasn't even Rebirth. It was Future Quest. Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't like any of that.
Yeah. See, I thought that was fun. It's like, a fun read. I'm probably 5 issues behind on it. But
I wanted to like Scooby-Doo Apocalypse.
Yeah.
No. I wanted to like Future Quest because I like Johnny Quest. Yeah. I love Space Ghost. No. You know,
I don't know why that one didn't.
It just did not connect.
Maybe you'll like the Hanna-Barbera crossovers they're doing next year.
Maybe, but probably not. The Flintstones book, I think that's already been canceled.
Has it?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything from it. I picked the first two issues of that up. To be honest, like if you want a good like DC Hanna-Barbera.
Wacky Raceland was only a 6-issue miniseries.
If you want a good like DC Hanna-Barbera crossover, get the Scooby-Doo Where Are You? Space Ghost was in.
Yeah, I picked that one up just because I see Space Ghost was on. Wait a minute.
The kid's been getting those, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, are you actually reading these or are you just getting them because you like the cover? And she's like, no, I love them.
Yeah.
So speaking of the kid, Mighty Zodiac.
Yeah.
Just finished its run last week. Excellent.
Okay.
Jay Torres.
I might be missing an issue.
Episode. Well, issue 6 came out about 3 months after issue 5. So
yeah, I have to just go back and check and see if I've got them all.
But we might. I'm going to see if we can get Jay back on the show and talk about it, like all of us, and bring her in for a little bit. She'll freak out, and you know.
Right.
Just look, she'll look at the microphone.
What else do we have this year? We had the end of Star Wars Darth Vader.
Yep.
The beginning of Star Wars Poe Dameron.
Yeah. Dr. Aphra, which I haven't read yet, but I did pick up. I
just got that. So
I got the Evil Wookiee Bounty Hunter action figure cover.
Oh, did they do Krzak or whatever I think his name is? Krzak.
Yep. Star Wars has still been good. The Han Solo one's been decent.
Yeah, the miniseries. I really like that concept that they're doing these 5-part miniseries because.
Do you have a favorite of the miniseries yet?
Chewbacca was probably one of my favorites.
I liked Lando the best.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Lando was fun, but I think just Chewbacca.
The Chewbacca one was great because he didn't talk.
Yeah.
And it was just. God, Phil Noto's art is like. I want every page of that as a poster.
That'd be cool.
It's just so beautiful. Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't do the covers as posters because the covers alone were.
Still, my favorite panel is where he has that that astromech droid and the head's open. And he's just dropping in the grenades and just closes it back up and sends it.
Yeah,
along.
It was just just a fun little story with Chewbacca.
I was a little disappointed by the Anakin and Obi-Wan.
I totally forgot about series. That one.
I don't even think
I read that one.
It was.
Yeah.
I'm so over that period of Star Wars because of the movies.
Pre-Clone Wars?
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, because of the movies. Like.
Yeah, you know.
Anything that happened between Phantom Menace and, you know, Revenge of the Sith, I'm kind of like.
Would you want to read, like, an Obi-Wan story without Anakin during that period?
Maybe. But I don't think he spent a lot of time. Like, I would rather go back before that and get some Obi-Wan stories. Like, I would
Like Qui-Gon Jinn?
Well, maybe Qui-Gon. Maybe even like just young Obi-Wan as he's, because, you know, because
the trials of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
But because, in, you know, because the EU is gone now.
Yeah.
Not the European Union, but the expanded universe. Like, we
just
could do,
wait.
we could go back and do some young Obi-Wan with, you know, maybe just add some new canon.
Sure.
Because one of the coolest things about Obi-Wan was he wasn't accepted to the Jedi Academy until the very last year. He was almost too old to be able to go.
Right.
And then he was one of those Jedi who kind of always flirted the line of,
well,
light
the name
and dark.
Never shown what happened with him and Satine.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, cool. That would be an interesting,
I mean,
story.
Clone Wars is canon, so.
Yeah, Clone Wars is part of the canon.
He's going to show up.
We'll find out that Sabine Wren is Obi-Wan Kenobi's daughter.
That would,
I mean,
be awesome.
You know.
He's going to show
and
up.
And
then
also.
And then Rey is Ezra and Sabine's daughter.
Oh, there you go. That's the whole. That's how Rey's related to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's my mic drop right there. So she's a Kenobi.
Yeah.
Dude, the way Sam Witwer says Kenobi.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't like him.
I want that as my ringtone. I just wanted to go, Kenobi.
Yeah. So. I just like, he's alive. He's alive.
Did you watch the most recent Clone Wars? Totally off topic.
Was that the glowy eyes? Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Man. It got
I just
again.
Seen a planet, a desert planet with two suns. It's like, how many desert planets with two suns are
well,
in this universe?
So that was the thing that bothered me about the end of that episode, is he said it's a planet with two suns. He didn't say a desert planet.
Right.
It's like, dude, it was a desert planet. You said desert planet 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Why are you just saying a planet with two suns?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is wrong with you?
But he did say, you know, it's Obi-Wan. Yeah. Obi-Wan's alive. And it's like, okay.
And Kanan's like,
well, shit, I'm not the best master around here, am I?
Well, let's see. Obi-Wan doesn't have a great track record.
No.
So
he can take down a couple Sith.
That's true. He can defeat the Sith.
Cut one in half, took the arms and legs, or the arm and legs off of one.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. No, I think for the most part, I've been happy with the way comics have gone this year.
I mean, with The Walking Dead's been solid. Mm-hmm. Invincible's been solid. Those
well,
two of my favorites.
But Invincible is off.
Did you read Reborn?
Off
have you read any of Reborn yet?
I have the first two, and number three is waiting for me to get it on Saturday.
I've read the first one, and it's an interesting concept. Another interesting Mark Millar concept. Haven't read it yet, but Briggsland has some good talk to it.
Okay.
So I've been picking that up. I think it's already in talks to be a TV series.
Nice. Chew is coming to an end. Or actually ended.
Yeah.
Which I did. I bought the last issue. I haven't read it. I just but
now you were reading that digitally, so you just bought the last issue to buy it.
I bought half. Because it was thick.
Well, I finally read the first trade of that.
And volume 12 comes out in a couple weeks. So
What else? Outcast. I finally read the first trade of that.
I read part of the first trade.
It's a dark book.
It's not my cup of tea. I'm going to finish it because that's another one where they had a sale.
Well, you always have it. You have issues with stuff where kids get involved in that, obviously, because you have a kid.
Well, for me, it's not even that necessarily. It's just I'm not a big fan of horror.
Yeah.
Like, I like certain kinds of horror, but like as a genre, for me, it's just okay.
Right.
You know, and that's not, I'm not saying it's a bad book. I'm just saying it's not. I definitely skew more towards sci-fi and
fantasy.
Well,
for Kirkman, it's like The Walking Dead is the medium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Invincible is the bright side of Kirkman. Mm-hmm. Outcast is the dark side of Kirkman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, really the dark.
Yeah. But let's see. No, it's been, you know, Tarzan and Planet of the Apes from Dark Horse. James Bond was, I got that for a whole bunch of issues from Dynamite.
Yeah, Warren Ellis.
The Warren Ellis 007 was good. Trying to think of what else. I'm still enjoying Thief of Thieves from Image. It's been one of those years where I end up spending probably $10 to $15 more than I intend to.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, oh, this story sounds interesting. I'll get it. And then I, follow through.
Right.
At the same time, I'm ready to, I'm,
you know, as the year ends, I'm going to make some cuts. I'm probably done with Captain America, Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
The Hydra storyline, I just don't care about.
Right.
I want to be done with Captain America, Sam Wilson.
Okay.
But, like, Nick Spencer's done such a good job. I feel like they because of Civil War or Civil War II, they're in this weird spot where they can't move forward and they can't go backwards. They just have to wait.
Yeah, that
happens. So I'm being patient with that one. The next issue looks pretty interesting with Misty Knight holding Cap's shield. So,
wow.
You know, I just love the idea of that book where it's Sam Wilson against the world.
Yeah.
And he's just, you know, whatever. Let's see what Fight Club 2 was out this year.
Yeah.
From Palahniuk and Palahniuk, however you say it, and Cameron Stewart. I would have much preferred that to be a novel.
Oh, really?
A comic book.
Okay.
But, you know, it was definitely interesting. Definitely worth reading if you're a Fight Club fan. Buffy continues to be strong.
Yeah.
You know, I miss a lot of the Star Wars books from Dark Horse. You know, it's just one of those things where I feel like the Tales of the Jedi stuff.
They kind of knew toward the end that they were losing it, so it was down to, like, you know, the bare minimum of books anyway. So,
but, you know, I was getting all of those.
Marvel would do an Infinities book.
Yeah.
So a what if type Star Wars book would be fun.
Yeah, that would be great.
To see different versions of the same stuff.
You could do some cool.
But then I wish
stuff,
that Marvel would do a what if book.
Yeah, just, well, they need to go back.
Yeah,
to,
just do a regular monthly what if book.
And I would like to see. You know, I would like to see the Elseworlds come back.
Yeah,
legit
the DC
Elseworlds
come
back. You know, we had it was 2015 at this point. We had to talk about continuity doesn't matter.
Right.
And I think more and more looking at Rebirth, right? Rebirth should have been literally a Rebirth of the Lion where they're like, you know what we're going to do is we're going to tell cool stories six issues at a time.
Right.
Like, there will be some loose continuity there.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to, like, it's not like in one series it's going to be this and then the next series is going to be this.
Yeah.
It's going to be this, like, far in the future. But I feel like that was their chance to do that, and they're not.
Like, the universes have all these characters in them, and the characters can affect each other.
Right.
But they should only affect each other at certain periods of time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not every superhero lives in the same city. It's not like Astro City. Astro City is a book where the superheroes live in that city. And, I mean, it's an ongoing book from DC Vertigo. But the superheroes all live pretty much in that city. So it's like, you know, that makes sense to have the continuity where it's all in just one book. In the DC universe and the Marvel universe, these characters can affect each other's lives, but they should have their own things going on too.
And so I think Marvel's doing that well.
Yeah.
I mean,
they do it well enough.
I mean, especially like looking at like Champions, Wolverine, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, you know, they've always done a pretty decent job. Now, when it was like Logan Wolverine,
right?
It was like Batman. It's like there's no way he can be in this many places at once.
Right.
Get a grip. I don't know. Like I said,
with old man Logan and that, and the way he shows up in these books, it's like, you know, it makes a little bit more sense of what's going on with what they're doing with IVX and, you know, what'll come out of IVX with the new X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue.
Well, the reaction. Oh, I forget what's the term they used for it, but no, I'm excited for all of that.
Yeah,
there's a cool one shot that they're gonna do where it's like the time displaced X-Men are grown.
Yeah,
you know, and you know they're
the future,
kind of. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm pretty excited. I'm definitely gonna get X-Men Blue because it's where the lion's share of the all new X-Men are.
Okay.
That's been, you know, like of the X books, probably Extraordinary X-Men would be considered the flagship book right now.
Okay. But it's not all X-Men, right?
Extraordinary is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's Uncanny Avengers that
has okay, X-Men. That's what I'm thinking.
But like Uncanny X-Men has been great with Magneto and his team.
Right.
You know, kind of carrying on like from what now we know happened in Death of X.
you know,
I don't know
new.
What happened. What happened? Scott. Did Cyclops die?
Okay, so spoilers.
Yes.
It was so anticlimactic. In the very first scene.
Did Cyclops die?
Yeah, he dies. Okay. So, but in the first book, they go to Muir Island. Cyclops and Emma walk through the storm. And then the next thing you know, Cyclops is like, you know, my X-Men attack kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Well, it ends up, it was Emma and the cuckoos.
Yeah.
Doing an astral projection of Cyclops because he died from the Terrigen Mist.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So they actually killed him before he was dead.
Yeah. And so like nobody knew he was dead.
Huh.
And then Emma has legitimately started this war because she's so heartbroken that Cyclops died from the cloud.
Okay.
They've transformed one cloud into just harmless fog.
Right.
And so there's only one cloud left.
Right.
And so that's what the IVX is about.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see where that goes in 2017. The resurrection. That's what it is.
Okay.
The resurrection line of X-Men will be very interesting to see after the fallout of IVX.
And then it'll be, are the Inhumans and X-Men enemies at that point, or are they?
I don't know. I don't know why everyone keeps wanting to fight the X-Men.
Do they want to fight the X-Men, or are the X-Men just fighting against everything?
I think the X-Men are fighting against everything at this point. Yeah. But, you know, at some point, at some point, some groups can be like, look, guys, we know
whole
you're mad.
Point
but.
Of the X-Men are the next generation mm-hmm. of beings on Earth, supposed to be.
Right.
And that the Inhumans are the next generation of beings
cosmic.
That are
going
to kind of be on the cosmic level. And it's like, wouldn't it make sense for those two groups just to
team up,
ally with each other, and you know,
we'll
get rid
of
just get rid of all the humans?
Yeah, we'll take care of Terra.
Yeah,
you guys go out, and then you can be like, I had never tasted no Terran before.
Yeah,
they was gonna eat you.
They was gonna eat you, boy.
They ain't never tasted no Terran before. I saved your life.
Anyway. I saved your life.
But no, you know, to be honest, like this has been a great year for comics.
Yeah.
All in. Like, yes, DC has a lot of work to do. I don't see anything changing because they haven't made the changes in their leadership that they need to make.
Right, yeah.
I think Marvel has a lot of work to do because they need to stop with the all new, all different, now again, now next week. Now
we got a secret civil super war going on here
versus
with a Thanos side, and
it's just, you know, like let's
sorry
go
that
back.
was an amalgam that was an amalgam crossover.
Let's go back to just some, you know, let's do a year of telling comics, selling comics, doing books. Not as many.
Yeah,
I mean, with Marvel, it's the next one starts before the one before it ended.
Right.
You know, like Civil War is not over. IVX has started.
Yeah. And Death of X was going on somewhere in there, too.
I mean, Death of X was a 4-issue self-contained story where it's like, okay, we have to say what happened to Cyclops after Secret Wars. You know, like,
well,
we can't have...
It was the thing where after Secret War, where I think they lost... people was they should have done a storyline called 8 months later.
Yeah.
You know, even though DC did 1 year later, they should have done 8 months later.
Sometime in the future later.
Yeah. Well, it's just that whole thing that they were talking about how stuff was going to start 8 months after Secret War. It's like, well, you know, what happened in the 8 months? You know, could you hint at it and do a little better job than DC did with 1 year later?
And I think they did for the most part. But I mean, you have these cool little books. You have Ms. Marvel that's moving along. It's a good story. She's a good character.
It's helpful for them that they have books where they are accessible, like Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
That was my next one, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. These little interesting niche books are all Inhuman characters that have nothing to do with the royal family.
Well, sure.
And that's where, if they're going to use Inhumans, do it that way. Quit trying to push an Inhuman. Don't have an Inhuman agenda, right? Like, let's not worry about my feminist.
The
agenda.
Inhuman royal family lives matter.
The Inhuman agenda on the side of Marvel right now because they don't have the rights.
You
want to
see more
X-Men
man
story.
On the street Inhumans?
Yeah, that's what makes the X-Men interesting, right? The fact, you know, at the height of the X books before House of M,
yeah,
there were thousands of mutants, and we got all these little stories. We would not have had Quentin Quire stories.
Yeah.
If not for the massive explosion of Inhumans, right? And Quentin Quire is one of the greatest X-Men going right now. He's
okay.
Super interesting. Again, underutilized, but he's a former Phoenix. He's, you know, he's a telepath, telekinetic.
Okay.
You know, he's an all-around just asshat of a character.
Sure.
But he's fun to read.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
And like, you know, the way
And that's what it should be. It should be like, you know, we always go back to Kirkman.
Yeah.
Kirkman's books, no matter how dark they get, are fun to read.
I mean, let's go back to Reader and Montclair. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur is one of the most fun books that I get every couple weeks.
Well, right.
And I'm
excited
to read it.
And that one, I mean,
your
kid can read it. So, you know, it's accessible.
Yep.
And that's what I'm like, you know, that's what I look for in comic books. And I haven't read it yet. I flipped through it. The new Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle crossover is Batman Adventures.
Yeah.
It's the animated.
Yeah.
And I'm flipping through it going, this looks fun.
And I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Because the last one, the other one, the one that DC did, one, it looked horrible. The art was awful.
Yeah.
And two, it didn't catch me after the first issue. It's like, oh, I'm not going to do six of these.
Right. That one, I'm waiting for the trade on that one. But I'm like, I'm looking at this one and going, the art looks like Batman the Animated Series crossing over with the current Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series.
But like,
it's just fun looking.
Superman, American Alien.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. When they do stuff where it's, you know,
it was eight,
not part of the tie-in.
It was what, eight issues?
Yeah.
Six, eight, it's somewhere around eight, somewhere around six.
I think it was eight.
Somewhere between six or eight. And like, yeah, they were mostly loosely connected standalone stories.
Well, yeah, it's like,
but it was still the very much the him growing. You were hitting him at milestones in his life.
It's like the Jeff Loeb miniseries he did with Tim Sale back in the day, for all seasons, where it was just four books and it happened, you know, each season. And it was an origin book. Yeah. I mean, you know, those kind of things are fun.
You know, so all, you know, all in, good year.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to 2017. I got a bunch of X books coming out. Invincible's in its final run. It's shaping up to be really cool.
Yeah.
The last issue of Invincible was, I can't wait to see what happens after that.
The chase?
Yeah, with the cliffhanger with Tara. In
she's
the cloud.
Gonna fly. Come on.
So
either that or she's gonna hit the ground awful hard.
I think she's gonna die.
No.
Dude, anytime Mark Grayson gets any little bit of happiness, someone comes and rips his fiance's leg off.
Yeah, you know.
So dinosaur comes out and crushes his head.
Yeah.
Crushing your head. But I don't know. What are you looking forward to in 2017 with comics?
I thought we were going to talk.
Oh yeah, we are going to talk about that later. Never mind.
Yeah.
All right. 2016, awesome year for comics. Comic book movies, comic books, comic book TV shows.
It all ties together.
The Shield has been at a creative high for the first half of this
season.
Yeah,
I'm 2-3 episodes behind on that.
The way that
Ghost Rider's been fun,
dude. There is an original. Well, I mean, you've seen the origin episode, right?
Of Ghost Rider.
Of Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Of this one. Okay. So there is an awesome Johnny Blaze just name drop at the end in the last episode.
Oh, of the most recent one.
And then, the whole thing with Daisy, and her journey. There's a huge payoff there. In the last episode, they mention Ultron by name.
Well,
you know, which is the first time they've really done like a mention of the MCU in a while.
Right.
The Netflix shows have been awesome.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
The DC TV shows are the best thing that DC is doing right now.
Which I'm catching up.
Where are you?
Close to Invasion at this point.
So you're not even to the finales yet.
Jonah Hex was just on the Legends of Tomorrow or Legends of DC.
Yeah, the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then we're...
It's just DC Legends now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're catching up from vacation. So
I'll tell you this.
We're following it every week, like doing the weekly thing. So Invasion starts on the next Supergirl. The Supergirl episode we're about to watch.
So I'll tell you this right now. If you don't want to watch.
And it's not called Invasion.
So you can skip Supergirl. Because
I'm not going
to
skip.
Well, no. I mean, but you can go if you want to get right to the crossover. Right. The crossover bit that happens in Supergirl, they just re-aired again at the beginning of Flash.
Oh, okay.
So,
But I mean, like, that's what I was, you know, it was supposed to be a crossover thing. And I
it's
think,
not.
Well, I think they had it planned as the three-parter. Well, they didn't know that Supergirl was
Supergirl started later.
Right.
And then the episode that was the Supergirl season finale, or mid-season finale, aired the week before Invasion. So they showed them out of order.
Oh, okay.
So.
So the Invasion thing, the one that's after that.
There's nothing after Invasion. Invasion was
on the DVR. There is.
Mm-hmm. It might have been a repeat. You might want to double check that. Okay. But, anyway, but yeah, you can start with the Flash and go from there.
Yeah.
But
just watch them in order.
Invasion
but
was so good.
Vacation put us behind on a lot of stuff.
The Arrow 100th episode.
Yeah.
Was probably one of if not the best episode in the series.
Yeah.
Arrow is back.
It's fun watching Arrow because of name dropping now and characters showing up like Christopher Chance, Adrian Chase, you know.
There's
Google them if you don't know who they are. I'm not going to throw too much out
there. There's a thing that happens at the end of the Arrow mid-season finale, which is drastically change. It will change the direction of the show in the second half of the season.
His son shows up from the future.
The future. And his name is Connor Hawk.
It's a lot about the future this week.
And he's not John Diggle's son.
Oh, God.
Baby Sarah shows up.
Yeah. Awesome.
And she's a speedster.
Flashpoint.
So, Baby Sarah point. But yeah, no, just every like, you know, when we originally started this and when you came on, like, part of the point is how we want to talk about how comic books make just storytelling better on television and movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this year, except for Batman v Superman, it has been a great example of that.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange was very close to the comic for the most part. Not necessarily the original origin, but just very close to who he is as a comic book character, right? Suicide Squad. It was very comic book. It was very sequential storytelling,
right? It sticks to the idea of what the Suicide Squad is.
Civil War, while they probably should have called it, you know, Cap and Bucky Search for Answers or something like that instead of Civil War. You know, very comic book, you know, heavy of a story. Yeah, it's just been awesome. I've bought more movies this year than I have in a long time.
Really?
I have like 9 stacks of comic books that I can see, not just the ones I've read, and not even counting all the digital ones I get. You know, I just like my normally I'm an action figure guy.
Sure.
You know, I have bought way less action figures this year.
Okay.
Because I've been spending my money. I've been putting my money into comic books.
Okay.
So, plain and simple.
I put money into comic books this year.
You do?
Well, no. Like, I finally finished Star Wars.
I know. I'm saying you did.
I finally finished Star Wars, Marvel's original Star Wars run. I have the complete series
now.
I
was with you for some of that hunt, and it was fun to be a part of. So.
Yeah.
You know, I
got the last issue at Cincinnati Comic Expo and then got the first issue at Nostalgia, a local store.
You know,
and that's probably one of the books I've spent the most money on ever.
At Bookery, I got the first, 12 issues of Excalibur, which I'd lost along the way in life. I got a ton of great X-Factor back issues. Sure. One of the X-Factor back issues I have is a Queen City Comics on the wall. I got for $1, it's $50. And mine's in good shape, the one I got for $1. Okay. So it's like, interesting.
Yeah.
But
Bookery's good for that.
Yeah.
Bookery's good for hiding some.
I have.
They
a couple.
Hide some nuggets in their dollar books.
I don't think they do it intentionally, but maybe
sometimes I think they do.
There's
been times where it's like, you know, you question, why is this book down there?
Alrighty,
and they're like, oh, it's just down there.
You got anything else you want to add?
No.
Cool.
Nope.
Okay, so this is Thursday. We're going to see Rogue One in the morning on Friday when this will be live. So. If you're listening to this on your way to work, we're probably on our way to Rogue One. If you're listening to this later in the morning, we're at Rogue One.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a review. I think Daryl, if he's around, he might, if he has time, he might stop in for a little bit, which we'll put that up. I don't know. We might wait till Tuesday.
Eh, Whenever.
We'll figure that out. But so there
will
be
a non-spoiler review. Is that we're planning to do a non-spoiler?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you plan on doing a non-spoiler review, you can post it that night. Yeah.
Maybe we'll do.
If you want to do spoiler review, then
I think if we do a spoiler
that's
review,
when you wait a
and
week.
we wait until Tuesday.
Yeah.
But anyway. So, yeah. So
let me tell you, I'm really looking forward to the sequel to Rogue One.
Me too.
Oh, wait, I've already seen the sequel to Rogue One.
So I was leaving work, right? And one of my coworkers, he's like, hey, have fun at the movie tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait for the sequel. I heard it's this story about this farm boy who finds a laser sword.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about, but I'm in.
Yeah.
And he's like when I said sequel, he's like, they're already talking. Then he clicked. He's like, you're an idiot.
He goes,
you're an idiot. but anyway. Yeah, so Rogue One, I'm super excited for that.
I'm looking forward to Rogue Two, where many Bothans die. Stealing the plans
second Death Star that the many Bothans die.
Exactly. So that could be Rogue Two.
So there's a shirt. It says, hello, my name is Manny, and then Bothans.
Many Bothans.
Manny Bothans.
It's one guy.
Yeah. It's not, instead of many, it's
right. Manny Bothans.
Manny Bothans. All right. On that fun note, we are the Infamous Podcast. You can find us online at infamouspodcast.com. There's a link to our Patreon. There are links to our social networks. It's really easy to find us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. Jay Johnny Johnnyson is online on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram as Johnny Podorf. And you can find me on most social networks at Brian Tudor. And if you have questions, concerns,
we don't have the answers.
You can email us at contact@infamouspodcast. And then the last thing, if you like what you heard and you're still listening to us at this point, you're probably Johnny's mom.
She wouldn't know.
No, I know. I know.
Wait a minute. I got the best line for that one because I say it to people all the time. She wouldn't know a podcast if it came up and bit her in the ass.
Anyway, if you are listening at this point, why don't you throw us a 5-star review?
Love
on
you,
iTunes.
Mom.
Love you, Mrs. Podorf. A 5-star review on iTunes would be super helpful, and we would appreciate it. And we'll probably give you a shout out if you do it. So yeah, any last words, buddy?
If you have questions, concerns, or anything like that, ask Jeeves.
Ow! All right. Well,
it's always good to catch you off guard.
Before I spit water all over our podcasting equipment, we're going to go now. Have a great day, night, evening, weekend, morning, afternoon, whatever time you're listening to us.
Contact Ask Jeeves at Ask Jeeves.
Later.